Hello and welcome to episode number 33 of Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union. It's the pre-Sweet 16 edition, and I'm Scott Beatty in Champaign.
I'm Robert Rosenthal in Houston.
Oh, well, that's interesting because the Sweet 16 for Illinois is in Houston, Robert.
Maybe I should go tomorrow night. That sounds like a good idea.
Sounds like a good idea indeed. Hopefully, your soul can take whatever happens one way or the other. But we're going to talk about that.
My soul can only take one thing that's happening. The other part will shatter.
Well, there's also the path to getting there, which is really more what I'm concerned about.
Good point. Good point.
We are in the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning inside the Armory. And you might hear faintly some sounds of spring from outside the walls. Robert, those are the drums of the Marching Illini.
I was going to do it. We've talked about this before. I was going to do it. Landscape architecture prevented me from doing MI my sophomore year.
Well, on my way in, I saw a couple of frat guys not throwing snowballs, such as I've experienced before on my way in, but they were throwing a baseball around. The MI drums are out there. Well, some of them, because some of them are in Houston, right?
And what's the weather there? I don't even know.
It's 73 degrees today.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Gosh, it was so cold when I left.
Yeah. And it's just all the signs of spring, along with the Sweet 16, a sign of spring. So, Amazing Maisie Garrett is our producer. She is here today, and the gang is all here, except you're not present. So you know what that means, Robert?
It means you have to light the eye.
I've got the switch. I have control. I get to say it's time to light the eye, and then I get to press the button.
Better be blue.
All right, is this a good sign or not for Illinois in the Sweet 16 tomorrow? Tomorrow is an important date in Illinois history. What was it? Or what is it?
I mean, March 26th is more than just 2005 and Darren's shot and the overtime win. It's also the same date as the Syracuse game in 89 when we qualified for the Final Four. So March 26th is the lucky date in Illini basketball history.
Yep, and so maybe there'll be another one. That's when we learned 21 years ago that being down 15 points with under 4 minutes to go is not a problem.
I still think of it every game of like 15 at 4. That's like my benchmark for any game of is this still a game or is it mostly over?
It's not analytically final.
Yes, correct. As proven in 2005.
It's not AJ Red time. So today was the open shoot around for the teams, right? And press conferences and all that. What's the vibe in Houston?
Well, first of all, they said they'd let us see 15 minutes of the shoot around. It was 9 minutes of stretching with Fletch. And then it was 6 minutes, basically, of a few warm-up layup lines, and then we were ushered out. So, like, I get excited to see at least some part of practice, and I thought we'd get to see the first 15 minutes. This was very football-like of 10 minutes of stretching, 5 minutes of a couple shots, and, all right, media has to leave now. So that was a little
disappointing. But now you know their secret game plan to stretch before they play.
Yes, yes. I know all of the Fletch stretches now. I could go home and do them right now. Well, actually, there's some of them. There's no chance I could do.
The problem with this is now Houston is aware that Illinois is going to stretch, and they may decide to stretch themselves.
Yes, yes. And now all the word is out about these stretches, and now everything is ruined from letting the media in. So, It's been a interesting day here just because, you know, for one, it doesn't feel college-like. Like, this is a very, you know, this is the same thing in Boston. It's just interesting to be in an NBA arena watching college teams warm up. There's just something to the way the hallways are laid out and the way the locker rooms are set up for NBA players to have, like, the fanciest locker rooms imaginable. The arena is really interesting. It's, I said this to several people as we were standing there looking at it. It's kind of, it's very opera house-like. It's going to be a strange reference, but Scott, when you and I went to see Tannhäuser in New York City, when was that, 2023? When was that?
Yeah.
2024? I don't know that we, you and I, you wanted me
to don't know tell, we need to bring that up, but
tell all of America you and I going to see a 3.5-hour Wagner opera.
I think it was longer than that.
Yes. When we went to Tannhäuser, so, you know, like Lincoln Center there, they have, you know, the vertical box seats there that surround. People have seen this, like Paris Opera House or this and that, where, you know, there's seats on the floor and then there's just these vertical walls going straight up. So this arena has that. It has like three levels of suites that are one on top of the other and then the upper decks on top of that. So it's a really interesting layout in there. Feels very professional. Feels very, yep, this is a arena built for NBA basketball. And there will be college games played here. There's not the feel of here's where the cheerleaders go and here's, you know, there's usually a lot of room. We saw it in the women's game over the weekend at Vandy. Like, there's plenty of room for everybody around the court and this and that. This is the opposite of that. This is going to be a very professional arena and a very professional feel to these Sweet 16 games.
Have you sensed the other fan bases around? You're staying outside of town, but
staying outside of town, you know, to avoid seeing other fan bases.
We discussed last time.
Yes.
Yeah. By the way, the only feedback I've seen from our last episode is everybody that's with you on their mutual dislike of Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has really said, "Gee, Robert, take it down a notch." So
I will, even if people were to ask me to take it down a notch, I would be unable to take it down a notch. But yeah. Yes, breakfast at the hotel this morning, not a single Iowa fan sitting there, at least not wearing any Iowa gear. That's a great success. I could sit there and talk and eat my breakfast in peace. And that's why I'm out here in the burbs.
Aside from the heart wants what the heart wants for you. Mm-hmm. If Illinois can win this game, what are the, I mean, is this the game? You posted about it and others have noted from the KenPom rating, this is the game of the Sweet 16. This is the combined two lowest numbers of any two teams in the Sweet 16 round, metrically, which means, I mean, what are we, 6-4?
Yes. Houston's 4, Illinois is 6. Yep.
Houston is playing trademark great defense. Illinois playing great offense, which has been the hallmark of this season. Illinois playing solid enough defense from a KenPom standpoint to be where they are. But this reminds me, I hate to bring it up, the talking point going into the Loyola game in 2021, which was, well, is Loyola underseeded because their metrics are way different than an 8 seed?
Yeah. I mean, in a sense, the tough matchup here is for Houston, not for Illinois. Houston got a 3 seed that is number 6 in KenPom. Illinois getting a 2 seed that is number 4, it's whatever. A lot of 2 seeds have been 4 on KenPom before. For Houston, look at some of the other 3 seeds that are like, you know, what was Virginia, like 17th, 19th or something like that. Houston got a really rough draw here that they have to play one of the top 6 teams in the country in the Sweet 16. So, you know, it was my reference last time of, you know, call an ambulance, but not for me, because that's this whole idea that Illinois got a rough draw. It's actually Houston that got the rough draw here. Yes, they get to play at home, not at their arena, but they get to play in their city and they'll have a lot of fans there, but they, you know, the number you know, the two seed should be playing a team that's maybe 13th in KenPom right now. They got a tough draw in Illinois, and I like being in that position.
To me, when I look at the game, this is, I mean, Kelvin Sampson, the head coach for Houston, already said it. Illinois' offensive rebounding is going to be a challenge like nothing else that they have seen. And we know for Illinois' sake, it's going to be the defense of Houston. So as cliche as it sounds to say this game comes down to rebounding and probably turnovers, is there any other way you would look at it?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the thing. The biggest thing when looking at the KenPom, and this is what I asked, and I think we have the clip here. The biggest thing that's fascinating to me is we have talked all year about how Illinois doesn't foul. Illinois has the fewest fouls called, you know, when on defense. Illinois has fouled their opponent least of any of the 365 Division I teams. Illinois is first in that statistic, and first by a significant amount. Illinois just doesn't send people to the line because they don't foul a lot, and other teams aren't even in the bonus late sometimes. It's just part of how this whole thing works for Illinois. Houston, on the other hand, as far as getting to the line, is 351st out of 365 teams. They take mid-range jumpers, and they don't drive to the hoop and gain contact and this and that. So as this is why I asked the question today, which we can play here in a second, is, well, what do you do with a game like that? What do you do with a game where, if what is typically going to play out for each team, especially because Houston doesn't try to draw contact and Illinois doesn't foul, the expected fouls tomorrow would be something like 15 fouls on Houston and 5 on Illinois, something like that. Refs are always going to try to balance it out, but the way these two teams play basketball, that's the fouls that happen. So I asked Brad Underwood at the press conference today, like, okay, tell me what you do. How does that impact the game? So let's play the clip right here.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to shoot a lot of threes. And I think that's, you know, it's still one of the opportunities to, we're going to have to do what we do. We're going to have to, you still have to guard the basketball without fouling. Kingston's very good at getting downhill, but it's not something we talk about a great deal. Is, hey, we got to guard them without fouling, or or they're a team that doesn't go. To me, that's just kind of the flow of the game, how the game's called, and you have to adjust. So it's not a real high priority. We know we don't foul very often. We practice it every day, and if they don't go, they don't go.
So there you have it. Brad Underwood says just taking that in stride. He's not zooming in on it as much as your question suggested, but that doesn't mean you're wrong. It just means Brad Underwood's not highlighting it in a press conference.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by his answer because, you know, these are the moments where, you know, I'll go back to 2001, that in the pre-game press conference for Illinois, Arizona, Lute Olson went on a 10-minute, Illinois fouls, they're going to foul us 50 times tomorrow. It's just up to the officials to call it. Illinois foul, foul, Illinois fouls, Illinois fouls, Illinois fouls, to like set up a national narrative kind of thing. And that's what, you know, Illinois got called for 45 fouls in the game 6. Illinois players fouled out. We all know what happened. Illinois lost to Arizona in the Elite Eight. The issue with this is going to be on the officials. Again, like, this is a game where Houston, it might be called fairly and the two teams playing their style of play, and Houston would get 4 free throws and Illinois would shoot 25 free throws. They're going to take mid-range jumpers. They're going to take a lot of threes. They're going to do that type of thing. And, you know, officials in there ever, like, we've talked forever about the makeup call, right? Like, there is 7 fouls on one team and 1 foul on the other team, and you'll see 2 quick off-the-ball fouls called, and it feels like, oh, that's the refs kind of trying to balance things out. Well, in this game tomorrow, a balance would be probably 10-foul difference between the two teams, given how much they attempt to foul and don't, and how they play defense and everything else. So that's the interesting thing about how this is going to play out.
And to be fair, no official would ever say there's such a thing as a makeup call.
Sure.
Or I would intentionally try to balance things out, even though some guy who gets paid a lot of money is on the sideline in your ear telling you
the fouls are 10-3. Fouls are 10-3.
Foul ratios. How's that possible? How's
that
possible?
Did you bet on the other
team? It's similar to the police officer who tells you there's no such thing as a quota of speeding tickets that I have to meet, so that, and that's why I'm pulling you over. But a police officer could follow you on the road and within 30 to 60 seconds find a justifiable violation to pull you over for it.
Yes.
Yes. Traffic violation I'm talking about.
Yes.
In basketball, all you got to do is watch somebody for 30 to 60 seconds. You'll see them do something they shouldn't.
Yes.
They cannot call everything. Yep. And most, you know, and that's where, you know, are the officers, is the police officer going to pull you over for 5 over? You know, or is it more of a 10 over situation? Same with basketball. And there is, I don't know, maybe there's something in the back of your head that goes, well, no one team fouls way more than another team, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, and you mentioned the Lute Olson. That's where every year Brad Underwood's also kind of lobbying through the media, you know, hey, Kofi gets called just for being big and huge. It's not fair. Hey, Keaton gets not called or doesn't get the calls on him because he just sort of takes the contact and he doesn't seem to be bothered by it. And he's kind of a small, wiry guy.
Yep. And
he's not actually, I don't mean he's small in stature.
I know what you're saying.
Right.
Yeah. On the flip side, Houston's a physical defense. They're a physical team. They are going to make things very, very difficult on Keaton when he drives the lane. So that's why this thought of fouls is so strong in my head, because Illinois does get to the line a fair bit and Houston doesn't. So, you know, the narrative after any game where one team shoots 26 free throws and the other shoots 4 is always, oh, officials wanted that team to win. If this plays out like normal, that's the game tomorrow. And that's exactly how it will play out. Illinois will be getting points from the line and Houston won't because they're shooting jumpers. So I'm just very curious to see how it's called. I'm not setting that up to be some like, oh, the officials are going to take it from us. This is Houston at Houston. This is going to be Kentucky at Kentucky in 84 all over again. I'm not setting up for that. It'll play out like it plays out. But the style of these two teams is fascinating because Houston is also 365th out of 365 teams in length of 2-point baskets made, which means everybody else just tries to get to the rim and go layups. Houston doesn't get fouled and has the longest 2-pointers in the country, which means they shoot mid-range jumpers. And they recruit guys who can shoot those and this and that. So is that advantage Illinois? Is that disadvantage Illinois? I don't really know. I think the Illinois length could bother them. I don't know if, you know, Big Z reaching out on something or Merck stepping into a guy shooting a 12-footer, maybe that rattles them a little bit that we have such length and we can block shots away from the rim. We will see, but that's the fascinating thing about the game tomorrow is that Houston is just a dribble around, get to 12 feet, take that jumper kind of a team.
The other thing I'm fascinated with this game is the environment. Houston will have essentially a home crowd, but there will be a good contingent from the other three schools, all Big Ten programs, Nebraska, Iowa, and Illinois. If you're Nebraska or Iowa, whoever wins, Illinois and Houston are the second game, right?
Yes.
Whoever wins the Nebraska-Iowa game, their fans, if they're sticking around, are going to want Illinois to win. Everybody is looking at – Illinois' fans, at least, are looking at this game as get through Houston and you've got a path to a national championship game. Well, Iowa and Nebraska are both going to say – I was going to say, we know Illinois. We want a second crack at them. Nebraska said, we beat Illinois. We want another crack at them to win twice at them. And neither one of them says, yeah, we want to play Houston in their hometown. So you could end up getting a bit more of a swell from the crowd towards Illinois, especially if Illinois is on any kind of a run or keeping it close. Just be interesting to see how that atmosphere plays out, whether it's a true home environment for Houston or not.
Yeah, given the game time, it's hard to know if they'll leave because it's so late. You know, like this game's going to get over at, you know, after 11 probably Central and after midnight on the East Coast. And so I'm just curious how many of those fans, maybe they stick around for the first half and such, the Iowa and Nebraska fans, but then filter out to go, you know, especially the whoever won, filter out to go get ready for Saturday. So I don't know. It'll be interesting. It's, look, at Boston, Illinois brought a ton of fans. In Milwaukee, Illinois had a ton of fans last year. It's very interesting that Houston will have probably the most fans, and Nebraska will probably have the second most fans here. So it's interesting that for a fan base that travels as well as Illinois, A, having to get to Houston, and B, having two other fan bases that are probably going to outnumber, it's going to make for an interesting environment.
Anything else you want to touch on here about tomorrow night's game? Because I do want to put a button on the season that was for Illinois women, which came to an end on Monday night.
Yeah, the only other thing I would say is that this is, how do I say it? When I walked into the arena at Boston and then the team came in for the 15 minutes of shoot around we got to see, there was a lot of awe of like, wow, this is where the Celtics play. And, you know, this is that. I didn't see as much of that today. Maybe I'm looking for that. Maybe I'm trying to see that, and that's why this. But there was less, like, players pointing up. I mean, I saw a couple of the walk-ons, like, pointing at the scoreboard. Like, that might be the biggest center court scoreboard I've ever played under and this and that. But there wasn't that kind of – there was very business-like to this practice. Now, maybe they just came out of a team meeting and went straight into the arena, and Underwood had them – had their heads turned around, and that's the reason. But – you know, it's just a tiny observation, but there was less like, wow, we are playing in, we're in Boston, we're playing where the Celtics play, and a little more like business trip kind of thing, which I think is this team's, you know, attitude and general disposition, if you will.
Well, this team has already been in the United Center twice this mm-hmm. year. They've been in Madison Square Garden. They've been in the Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, which yep. is not an NBA arena. It's a hockey arena. Hockey. But, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, it has – so the, wow, big, huge, this can seat 16, 18, 20,000 or whatever it is. Maybe a little bit of the starry-eyedness to the whole thing goes away.
Great point.
And maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah, maybe it is a good thing. Maybe there is a – look, we know the task in front of us. They, you know, it's not like it affected them in Boston. They beat the 2-seed Iowa State that next night. So it's not like they were wide-eyed and this and that. But it was just something I observed, having stood in a similar spot in Boston and watched, you know, teams and watched them interact afterwards and go into the press conferences and things like that. They were just very, very businesslike today. And maybe all of these trips to, like you said, you know, let's play UConn in New York City. Let's play go to Nashville and play Tennessee. All of these trips that they took, go to the United Center to play Alabama, maybe they are beneficial in this massive moment here.
The only thing I'd say about that arena is if it does look indeed like an opera house, maybe some of the guys see that and are like, we got to go to the opera. Coach, you know, can we and
yes,
and
I'm sure
Underwood will have to
is
be like
Tannhäuser.
If you guy, if you guys get to the Final Four, I'll take you to the opera.
Yes, I'm sure they're clamoring to see Tannhäuser. I mean, once we you've heard just, the March of the Pilgrims, like you're not going to go back, right? So, who right. wouldn't? Who would be thinking of basketball at a time like this when you could see a 3.5-hour opera?
I can't believe you brought this all up. All right. Amazing Maisie.
You want to tell everybody
here?
How it was late? Can we talk about that? We missed
the
opening
opera?
Act. Yes, we missed the opening act of Tannhäuser because
I couldn't
find a parking spot and you were just standing outside of Lincoln Center waiting for me.
I didn't. I heard I wasn't going to miss that overture. That's a whole different thing.
The more things change, the more they stay the same. Sorry, you were going to Maisie and here I was.
Amazing Maisie is here, producer. for this episode of Light the Eye. And hello, Maisie. Have you been enjoying the spring day on campus?
Hi, I have been enjoying it. Got to walk down, see the horses over by the athletic area. You know, how many college campuses have horses campus that you can
walk
to?
How many have that smell?
It's a good smell. Compared to the pigs, horses smell way better.
That's what I was saying today. My friend was like, we should have pigs here too. I'm like, You ever driven past a hog farm? Nasty.
Yeah.
They just moved the hog stuff further from campus so that it didn't smell as bad.
Maisie, what's the vibe for tomorrow night? And we asked this for of Ella too on Monday. Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious, like, what are the watch the Sweet 16 plans on campus? What are the options?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so mine's a little bit unique. Ella, actually, too. We're all going to Chicago tomorrow to Big Ten Network, so our plans are a little different. But from the grapevine, my sorority, at least, we also have barn dance tomorrow. So it's a whole conundrum trying to figure out, do we go to barn dance and then rush to CAMS, or do we just go to barn dance, figure out a way to watch it, or do we completely skip it, go to CAMS? So this is the ultimate U of I decision. Your Absolutely. Final senior year barn dance or watch a Sweet 16 game. I said personally, if I was in that situation, I'm skipping barn dance. Sorry, yeah. Skipping it. Going to CAMS. That's where I watched the last Sweet 16 game. And why would you not want to? It's floor to ceiling, Illinois, whatever, memorabilia. It's a good place to watch. I think that's the go-to.
Now that you mentioned barn dances, I obviously have to ask a question. Are there still Boda bags that are made with like so and so barn dance 1994? Do you know what a Boda bag is?
No,
you
I don't.
Oh my gosh. It's this little leather pouch that you would put orange juice in to go into a football game. Because you really wanted some orange juice when you were in the stands. And so you would get them made as like the party favor for the barn dance. And it would say fraternity or sorority barn dance and then year. And that was the big thing. And then you'd hang them on your wall. And they look like a thing that like the Vikings would drink alcohol out of.
But you used it for orange juice.
No, yes, that sounds fun.
Who doesn't want orange juice at a football game? You know, it's not
I
like
want orange juice at a football
these were
game.
Perfectly shaped to fit inside of your clothing so that no one would see you were carrying your orange juice into the stadium.
Right.
It's just like this thin little pouch that can be hidden very easily. But I just didn't know in the 30 plus years since I've been on campus and since I was attending barn dances, whether the Boda still existed.
No, not that I have heard of. It might some places, but I have never brought a Boda bag to barn dance or any other event here on campus. Okay.
Now they're clear plastic and you only bring water in them.
That's right. That's right. What I guess that's the other question is like, are there favors? Are there hats, shirts? Are there things that say such and such barn dance 2026?
Not barn dance, but for bar crawls and stuff like that. Yes. Mm-hmm. But barn dance, no, everyone just wears their own outfit normally, in my experience.
And that was such a status thing when I was on campus of like, you know, if you went to some certain sorority's barn dance, you could wear that shirt all around mm-hmm. campus. And it'd be like, whoa, that dude went to that barn dance? It was a way to, you know, flex a little bit. So
right.
We do interesting.
Shirts okay. for block. But I will say for one barn dance, me and my roommates all dressed up as a big ear of corn. Last semester. So that was fun. That was different. Everyone else was dressed nice and we were corn.
What time is the barn dance supposed to end compared to like when the game starts?
So how it works is there's like three separate groups of buses. So the first mm-hmm. one I think leaves our house at 7:30. So then by the time they'd be picking you up to leave, I believe it'd be around 10 o'clock-ish, mm-hmm. a little after 10. Mm-hmm. So that's about, what, an hour overlap here, Central mm-hmm. Time.
Theoretically, yeah. You could get there for the second half.
Yeah.
Theoretically, there's going to be a really long line outside of CAMS that will take you a minute to get in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
So big decisions.
Might
for
as well just go
students.
To the library and study.
Yeah.
No
take
time
some
for
orange
right
juice
now.
To the library. They make these little things where you can sneak orange juice into the library.
All right. I'll send them to you to make these bags, Robert.
Okay. Yes. I'm gonna start my own business of like bring back the Boda.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for informing me of how things are done on campus. And I just want to note again, Maisie, like what you, so you were a freshman in what, fall of 22?
Yes, fall of 22.
So you got an 8-5 football season, and mm-hmm. then you got, okay, they lost in the first round to Arkansas. Yep. Then you got 5-7 football season, but also the run to the Elite Eight as a sophomore. Mm-hmm. As a junior, you get Citrus Bowl plus lost to Kentucky round of 32. And as a senior, you get Music City Bowl win over Tennessee and now Sweet 16, Elite Eight, and or Final Four. So mm-hmm. that is quite the run. Congratulations on your sports run.
Mo, thank you. I worked so hard for it. I appreciate that, Robert.
But wait, there's more.
Baseball Big Ten title in 2024? No. Is that what you're going for?
All 4 years you've been here, women's basketball plays in the postseason. Mm-hmm. Yep. 3 of those years in the NCAA. Mm-hmm. The 1 year they don't make the NCAA, they win the other tournament they're in.
WBIT champions.
That's right. In over in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. And there's a new standard set, like back-to-back years winning a game in the NCAA tournament being a win mm-hmm. away from the Sweet 16. That, I mean, that goes back a long time to something like that. So you're having some days, but it's the women's season came to a close. I wondered if you had any wrap it up thoughts to the season, put a bow on it.
Yeah, I think Shauna Green's in a really, really good spot. I think the team is too. That is, if they get retention, which I see happening personally. I think earlier in the season when we saw that game against UCLA, Illinois put up a fight no one was expecting. And then after the game, when UCLA's coach is telling these girls in the post-game presser, hey, if you guys stick together, you can make it really, really far. I think that says a lot. I think the girls listened to that based off how they came out and talked about it. So I think if they're able to stay together, they're in for a really, really good ride coming up here.
Well, savor it, because there's a lot of folks that are listening to this that just never got that through their college mm-hmm. experience. And same with Robert, has shared it more than once.
Oh, yeah.
Here on this space.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
very
just
grateful
think
for
of
it.
Somebody who was a freshman in 13. So 13 football was 4-8. 14 basketball missed the tournament. 14 football was 6-7, did go to the Heart of Dallas Bowl. 15 basketball didn't make the tournament. 15 football was 5-7. 15-16 basketball was terrible, like 13-19 in the regular season or whatever. And then 17-18, it would have been 17 football went 2-10. And 18 basketball also bad, or 17 basketball also bad. So, yes, there were people who got in the fall of 13, never saw a tournament game, never saw one bowl game, no bowl wins. Like horrible, horrible seasons over and over. And what you got mm-hmm. is pretty great. And as you said last time we talked about this, your parents remind you every day, which makes me happy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite.
All right. So before we part, we'll step aside for a moment, and when we come back, a couple of items. One pertaining to the Marching Illini and a sweet farewell that they received in Ireland. So we will share that right after this. Till it all burst out, till it all burst out. So what's it gonna take to make this all stop now, baby? Mentioned opera a couple of times, and yes, you and I went to the opera in New York City, and look, I'm not ashamed to say I go to an opera from time to time. But I feel like it's the last, like, for anybody who doesn't think yet that I'm a total nerd, you know, now you've just peeled back the curtain entirely.
Scott, we just got to be ourselves, right, man? Like, if we were going to the opera together, we got to tell the folks that we were going to the opera together. Didn't I announce it, like, in front of the media that
okay,
day?
Okay,
like,
here's the story.
Hey, see you at the opera tomorrow or whatever?
Yeah, so Illinois basketball had a swing through New Jersey to play Rutgers and then a game in Madison Square Garden in New York City. That was the Florida Atlantic game, I believe.
Okay, yes.
And yeah, and so there was a gap, like, so the team went into New York City to stay, and I was there doing radio duties, and you were there covering both games. And so you and I said, well, you know, do you want to do something on the off day in between, go catch a show or whatever? Mm-hmm. Long story short, we landed on going to a Wagner opera, which is a commitment, by the way, for those of you who are not familiar. It's not the same as going to Gilbert and Sullivan, okay? You know, like, it's a real... It's a marathon.
Should we tell the folks what the first scene of Tannhäuser is?
No, we should not.
We don't want to put up the E tag.
It's a great overture. I'll just say that. It's a great overture. Anyway, so we've made this plan, and then there is a... But before we leave to New York, there's a football press conference, and we're waiting for this thing to get going, and somebody asks you in this room gathered of several media, hey, what are you doing in New York? And you're like, actually, isn't Scott here? We're like, we're going to go see an opera. And I was thinking at that moment, maybe not telling everybody in a room full of sports media that you and I are going to see an opera together. But
I'm the open bookiest open book that has ever open booked in the history of open books.
Yeah. And so now everybody in the Illinois sports media beat knows that you and I went
to opera together. We're going to do it again.
We only did it once.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna happen.
We only did it once.
Can we like do the outro of the Pilgrim's Chorus from? Can we just like, I mean, just like, oh, that would be great. Like, what if I did like a monologue and we just start with the Pilgrims in the distance, of, like just a very quiet like, and then like it gets louder and louder, and then I crescendo with some kind of big point. Let's do that. We'll take that offline. We'll do that next time. But that's a whole idea. If we beat Houston, I promise that I will have some kind of diatribe that I go through, and we're going to put Pilgrim's Chorus behind it.
I have another story for another time about the overture to Tannhäuser and the night I got engaged.
Okay.
To my now wife, but that's another story. All right. Okay, I want to play this.
Houston, you have to tell that story. Okay, good.
Okay.
Right, resolved.
But it's also going to be very nerdy. The Marching Illini has returned from Ireland. They were over there to be, among other things, in the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Dublin. Shout out Barry Hauser and once again. But this, thanks to one of the folks here at SIDL that shared this. This was posted on TikTok by one of the bus drivers that took the band around. And so in a very Irish way, it's a fitting tribute. So I just want to play this and shout out to the MI.
Ah, you know, it's always the toughest part of my job, dropping people to Dublin Airport. And as I say all of the time, a lot of my posts, we come as strangers, we leave as friends, and that couldn't be more true than today. You know, one of the most enjoyable 6 days I've ever had at work in the tour business has been just this past week, working with the University of Illinois, working with the director of music, Barry Hauser, and all of the different units within the marching band, one of the world's most famous marching bands, award-winning University of Illinois. It was quite the experience, and I look forward to their return in 4 years. We'll be right back.
keep them as souvenirs. Somebody left drumsticks behind them. Where's my band gone?
That is one of great. The finest marching bands. Where's my band gone?
Accent is awesome. What did he say his name was? I couldn't quite hear.
I don't think he said.
Oh, okay.
But the handle is there, so yeah. So pretty cool. Congratulations awesome. To Marching Illini success. And very fitting as we close this episode, we still have the drums beating outside on a warm spring day on the campus of the University of Illinois.
Yes, makes me a little homesick down here in Houston. I wish I could feel the warmth and hear the drums.
Well, hopefully you stay a while.
Yes, hopefully I'm not coming home Friday. Hopefully I'm coming home Sunday, and hopefully I'm booking plans for Indianapolis.
All right. We'll talk about it, whatever happens, and wherever you are next when we light the eye again. I should re-say that. All right, we'll talk about it again, whatever happens on our next episode. Hey, thanks to Maisie Garrett for an outstanding job as our producer. Thanks to the support from the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning here in the Armory. Robert, thanks to you. Safe travels, my friend. We'll talk again soon when we once again light the eye.
Okay.